Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, October 27th, where we've had an absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. Just absolutely beautiful. Actually, a little warm, to be honest, for this kind of year. I think it got to 82 in the afternoon, but other than that, I mean, it was just absolutely, absolutely great. Well, today we're going to talk about this blame game that seems to be going on. Every time something happens, we have to blame it on somebody. Rather than just deal with the facts and learn the facts first, we immediately start blaming people, and that's got to stop. It's got to stop, and I've got a few thoughts about that today. Wonderful news about the American economy. GDP growth of 3.5%. That's very good. That's a very good number for a mature economy like the United States. Well, I'm sure some of you are still recovering. I know I am, from that 18-inning baseball game last night. Just absolutely amazing game. I mean, just what else can you say? Baseball at its best. Two teams just fighting it, you know, fighting it pitch by pitch. And it ended in the bottom of the 18th on a home run. But they actually got to play two games. That's the equivalent of two games when you play 18 innings. Just absolutely, absolutely fabulous. I want to begin with what is happening down in Brazil. They have an election on Sunday, the 28th, and everything seems to be lining up for a victory for Jair Bolsonaro, this is an incredible story, the story of this man. He, I believe, I didn't know much about him, frankly, until recently. But he, I believe, has a military background, and he came on the scene running for president. I don't think anybody really gave him a chance that I know of. I mean, he was nobody thought that he would win, but he was out there saying a lot of things that I think a lot of people wanted to hear about the corruption, and especially about the violence in the cities and so on, and he hit a nerve. There's no question about it. He hit a nerve with, I'm going to say, the middle class in Brazil. He really hit a nerve with the middle class in Brazil. And right now, it looks like he's going to win. He almost won the election in the first round. He came within a couple of points of having a majority. Since he didn't have a majority, then they had to go to an elimination round. All the polling data shows that he's going to win fairly easily. Now, again, we won't know until the election's over, and, you know, we have to wait and see until all the votes are counted. So, you know, wait for that before you start having your party. But it sure looks to me like he's going to win. And he represents something, I believe, very interesting happening in Brazil. And that's really a rebellion against the political class, and I think specifically against what we've talked about before, this crony capitalism in Brazil, this corrupt relationship between big labor, big government, and big business, a relationship that is very good for those three, but not very good for the average Brazilian. You know, the average Brazilian is suffering in a bad economy, and I had a Brazilian friend of mine say to me years ago, you know, the problem here is that they pass all these rules, you know, they write all these laws that only they understand. So they're the ones who can afford all the lawyers to explain to them what these rules mean, whereas if you're a small businessman and, you know, you don't have the money to have lawyers on staff and stuff like that, you end up basically losing a lot of business to industries and companies that are sort of chosen by the government to succeed. So I really hope he wins. I really hope he wins. Now, he's not going to do everything that he promises, and I hope that the people of Brazil are patient with him, because really, if he can tackle the crime problem, that's the first thing I think he has to do. He has to tackle the crime problem. If he can deal with that, then I think a lot of other things are going to fall into place. But if he can tackle the crime problem and simply make people feel safer in their neighborhoods and in their homes and so on, I think that would be a huge victory. So my guess is that he's going to tackle that first, and then everything else will fall into place. I mean, there are already very investigations going on in Brazil about the corruption. They had this operation called Operation Car Wash, where they were really putting through a lot of politicians through the car wash, as they like to say. And that operation seems to be successful. It will probably go on under Bolsonaro, more than likely, because, as I say, it's independent of whoever the president is. But if Bolsonaro, if a President Bolsonaro can do something about the crime and the out-of-control crime in some of the cities, if he can do that, I think he's going to have a very successful presidency. We'll see. We'll see the results. Probably, I'm going to guess, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock our time, we should have some results. Maybe earlier than that, especially if it is the type of landslide that I think a lot of people are projecting. We may, you know, we may find out at 7 o'clock Eastern time, because remember, Brazil is a couple of hours ahead of us. So, you know, we may be seeing results from Brazil at 6, 7, 8 o'clock U.S. time, and we should be able to get an idea of what's going to happen. But I think it looks very likely that Bolsonaro is going to be the next president of Brazil. Just a quick note here, the American economy continues to do extremely well. And some brand new numbers that came out, the GDP at 3.5, unemployment is low. All indications are that the American economy is going to do well for a while. Now, there's a little uncertainty because of the election, honestly. And I think the investors are a little worried about the Democrats winning the House and slowing down some of the deregulation and all of that. That could change things. But right now, the American economy is just doing absolutely great. And the one thing about the Democrats taking over the House, the one thing about them is that if they do, what all the experts are saying is that whoever takes over the House is going to have about a 5-10 vote majority. If the Republicans keep the House, it'll be by about 5-10 votes. If the Democrats take over the House, it's going to be about 5-10 votes. So that's going to make it almost impossible to get anything done. And on the Senate side, everybody's expecting the Republicans to control their majority, maybe increase it by 2, 3, 4, 5 Senate seats. So with a Republican majority in the Senate and a narrow majority in the House, the Democrats are not going to get anything done. And the people who are going to be disappointed with the Democrats are going to be, frankly, the Democrats, because they're not going to get anything done. They're not going to get anything done with that kind of a narrow majority. Well, you know, we have often told you in the past about our friend Carlos Guedes. We have a link to his website on the show information. Right underneath there, you can see Carlos Guedes. And we want you to click on that, because Carlos is getting around town and doing a tremendous job getting around town. We've added a new click here in the last week, and that's my good friend Duke Machado, who is a car dealer here in Texas. So if you're looking for a car, if you're looking for a car for yourself, for your family, maybe your daughter or your son is looking for your first car, click on that link and talk to Duke and see what he can do for you. He has a good supply of automobiles, and I'm sure will take very good care of you. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about the news media. And it kind of ties into this blame game that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. We're at a point right now in the United States where, you know, you have this incident, for example, on Friday, where they arrested this man who was allegedly sending the packages. Well, the fact that he apparently was a Trump supporter, from what we understand, that all of a sudden everybody's blaming Trump for that. Now I'm not saying everybody. I mean elements in the media are blaming Trump for that. Then you have the situation today in Pittsburgh, this absolutely, I mean, horrible situation in Pittsburgh, where I guess a person went into a synagogue and started shooting, and I mean it's just unbelievable. I think 14 people are dead and so on. So somebody immediately blames that on Trump. And this is really getting ridiculous. You know, I think people in the media, you know, they keep talking about Trump attacking the media. Well, maybe the media needs to be more responsible, because I think people in the media who engage in this kind of blame game should not be on television. This is utterly irresponsible on the part of whoever the network is, whoever the magazine is, whatever, to be allowing somebody to say stuff like this. You know, if a person goes on your network and says, or writes on your magazine and says, I'm blaming the incident in Pittsburgh on President Trump, I think that person should be fired. I think that person should be fired for just reckless irresponsibility. You don't blame something like this on anybody, the president, whoever it may be. I mean, it's kind of crazy because on Friday, as I say, the fellow arrested was apparently a pro-Trump person. On Saturday, today, the person arrested is apparently a anti-Trump person. So you don't hear me blaming it on the Democrats. You know, when that fellow went into the baseball field and started attacking Republican congressmen, and thankfully he didn't kill one of them, but, you know, he came pretty close to killing Representative Scalise. I mean, he was in the hospital. He was pretty serious, very close to dying for quite a few days. I didn't blame it on Bernie Sanders, even though the shooter was a Bernie Sanders supporter. So I think, you know, we've got to stop this blame game. And the only way you're going to stop it, frankly, is for some of the leaders of the media to simply shut down people who go on that network. And CNN is terrible about this, by the way. I mean, CNN over the last 48 hours has just been pathetic about this. The only good news about it is that CNN has lost 40% of their audience. But other than that, it's absolutely pathetic to go on TV and start blaming this on President Trump one way or another. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, there is in the article that I have over at the American Thinker today, you know, I make the case that everybody has to lower their volume. I think that President Trump has to lower his volume. Sometimes, and I'm the first critic, sometimes he'll say things that he shouldn't say. There are times when he tweets things and I go, please don't say that. The Democrats have to lower their volume. You know, when Maxine Waters is making some of the statements that she's making, when Senator Booker made some of the statements that he made about getting in people's faces, that's just totally irresponsible. That should not be allowed. So everybody needs to lower the volume, but the media also has to do its part. I just saw a Rasmussen report, and I put this in my article. There's a Rasmussen report indicating Rasmussen, as many of you know, is a polling organization, and they have a very good record, by the way, of calling it correctly. So, you know, when I see something from Rasmussen, I pay attention to it because, as I say, they've been an extremely reliable pollster over the years. And they've run a brand new poll. And, you know, one thing about Rasmussen, by the way, they only do likely voters. This is an extremely important point. They only do likely voters. They don't do, you know, anybody else. They do only likely voters, which makes their information a lot more reliable, and specifically in terms of people who vote. But they have a story saying that 45% of the voters in their poll say that the Democrat Party is working, or that the media is trying to help the Democrat Party. Now, just think about that. 4 out of every 10 Americans believe that the news media is helping a political party. Well, that's very bad for the news media. That's bad, period, but especially bad for the news media. So I think the media itself has to get a little bit more. It seems to me many people in the media are tone deaf when it comes to their attacks on Trump. They think that their attacks on Trump are going to be supported by everybody. But I don't think that's working. I think the media needs to get back to being journalists, where they just cover the events and let us make up our minds. But don't push one side or the other. Just do your job. But a poll like this, 45% say that the news media is helping Democrats. That's not a good deal whatsoever. Well, we remember today an important date in the presidency of Ronald Reagan. It was on this day in 1983 that President Reagan approved the invasion of Grenada, which was a huge victory in the days of the Cold War. It basically eliminated a potential Cuba in this part of the world. Grenada was a small island in the Caribbean, but nevertheless turning itself into a communist country. And that was a great move by President Reagan, going in and taking care of that problem. Well, thank you for listening. Everybody have a good day, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.